Morning. It is good to be here with you this morning, and it's a pleasure to be in church this morning. And I'm so glad to have the privilege to gather together with God's people. And on behalf of my family and I just want to say thank you for the whole entire church for giving us a nice place to stay for the night, and also for the goods and the food and everything in there. My kids loved the toys. So they love the toys. They're kid approved, and they just loved everything. So thank you for everything, for being so nice and welcoming to us. And it is a joy to be with you this morning. If you have your Bibles, if you would turn with me to Matthew, the book of Matthew, chapter number 14. Matthew chapter 14. And we'll look at it beginning in verse number 23. And while you're turning there, I'll tell you a little bit more about me. I was born in Charlotte, North Carolina, and family moved to Georgia. My dad was a song leader, and we were in Georgia for about 7 years. And then the Lord led us to Florida, where we are from, Haines City, Florida. Have you ever heard of Haines City, Florida? Would you raise your hand? Oh, my word. Wow, I was not expecting that. But Haines City, Florida, a small town in central Florida, is where we're from. I've called that place home for 16 years. Graduated from my church's Christian school. I went to Bible college there. It's where I met my lovely wife, Leah. And we served as youth pastor and dean of men at the Bible college, worked at a radio station and a whole lot of stuff around the church there. But the Lord called me to preach, and we are prayerfully looking for where the Lord would have us to serve Him. And I'm just humbled at the fact that He called me to preach. You're going to see in a few moments that He could do a whole lot better. But I'm so thankful for the privilege of being called to preach, and I wouldn't use my life for any other purpose than what He's called me to do. And I'm so thankful to be able to share God's word with you this morning. Matthew chapter 14, look at it with me in verse number 23. Matthew chapter 14. And by the way, I don't know if y'all knew this or not, but pretty neat driving into the church. I looked on the church sign. I don't know who does the church sign, but they actually have my life verse on the church sign. Matthew 5:16, that's my life verse. Let your light so shine before men, they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. So whoever does the sign, great job. You got great tapes and verses. Matthew chapter 5 is a verse that I claimed when I was younger. But Matthew chapter 14, with the Lord's help, I'd like to preach on this thought. How the Lord uses storms. How the Lord uses storms. And I believe that everything that happens in our life is not just circumstance, it's for a purpose. And I believe God is God enough to use anything to bring about His purpose and plan. And as I began to read and study God's Word, storms in the Bible interest me. And the Holy Spirit led me to this particular passage in Matthew chapter 14. And I thought, you know, as I looked at the storm, there's got to be a purpose for His disciples encountering the storm. And I believe the Lord will help us answer this question, how the Lord uses storms. And I don't know if you've ever thought this question before or not, but I've thought this question in my life before. Why do bad things happen? I'm sure you've thought that. I'm sure you've had questions. People come to you with those questions. Why is it that bad things happen and seemingly bad things happen to good people? Why is that? And I believe the Lord, through this story, will allow us to answer that question this morning. And I want to be a help and encouragement to you. And Matthew chapter 14, and look at it with me in verse number 23. The Bible says this, "And when He had sent the multitudes away, He went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, He was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw Him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, It is a spirit, and they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And Peter answered Him and said, Lord, if it be Thou, bid me come unto Thee. And He said, Come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid and beginning to sink. He cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, Of a truth, thou art the Son of God. And we'll pause there and ask the Lord to bless our time together this morning. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this day you've given us, Lord, this beautiful day and every chance that we get to open our eyes and draw our next breath is a gift from you, Lord. And we're so thankful for the gift of life you've given us physically, Lord. And we're also thankful for the gift of eternal life that you've given us through your Son, the Lord Jesus. And we're so thankful to be saved and to know you as our personal Savior. And God, we're thankful this morning for the Word of God. And I pray that you would just use your Word and speak to our hearts today. Help us to draw some encouragement and some hope from it. And we'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. How the Lord uses storms. There's got to be a purpose and a plan. Why? Why did his disciples experience the storm that they did? Well, before we get to that, as a way of introduction, here's some very interesting things to me about this storm. Here's some very interesting things to me about this storm. Look at it. Verse number 23, it says this. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. It's interesting to me that this storm that the disciples encountered, it was not punishment for any evil that the disciples did. You've got to think with me for a moment. They were doing exactly what God had told them to do. He told them to get in the ship, and I want you to get in the ship and make your way across the sea. And that's exactly what they did. So this storm was not a punishment for some type of rebellion or disobedience in the lives of the disciple. So why did it happen? Well, I draw this from it. Bad things just happen. Anytime a storm, and what I mean by a storm is I mean the bad things that come in our life, the valleys that we have to go through, the trials that we encounter. It doesn't mean if you encounter a storm in your life that you've done something wicked and just awful. It tells me, just like these disciples did no wrong when the storm came, storms just happen. The Bible says it like this, it rains on the just and the unjust alike. The reason that bad things happen in a nutshell is we live in a sin-cursed world. Because of sin, we have the awful things that we see and experience in our life. So don't get down on yourself when you're experiencing a storm. It doesn't mean that God's punishing you for some wicked that you've done. It's just they come on all of us. But also, here's another thing that I thought about. Particularly, this storm hit them in the midst. The Bible says they were in the midst of the sea. That means that they were in the middle of that body of water. And being in the middle of that body of water means that they probably were in the deepest part of that sea. They were in the dead center. That means that all around them on every side, they had equally the same amount of distance to get back to safety and get back to shore. So why on earth would the Lord allow his disciples who were being obedient to what he told them to do experience a storm to begin with, but why put them in the most vulnerable position to encounter that storm? Well, I'm not trying to let the cat out of the bag. We're going to get there in a second. I'm just throwing this out there to get you thinking, but it's for a purpose. Everything that the Lord does and allows in our life is for a purpose. And we have to trust that purpose, and we'll get there in a moment. The storm began to crash into them and toss the ship around and even fill the boat. Now, I love fishing. I love the water. I am not good at it. I don't know a lot about it, but I do know this. Water is supposed to be outside of the boat, not inside the boat. right? Did that blow your mind this morning? When water fills the vessel, it's not good. And that's what the disciples found themselves experiencing. The waves and the wind were crashing and making the water fill the ship. They were in real danger. I'm not trying to negate the fact that they overreacted to a small storm. No, they were in a predicament. But the entire time, and we'll see it in a moment, the Lord was always in control. There was not one moment in that storm that God was not in complete control. And also, verse 25, we see this. Actually, before we get there, the fourth thing I want to show you about the storm that was very interesting to me was the worst part about the storm was the wind. The wind that was boisterous, the Bible says in verse number 30. It was the wind that caused the waves to swell to the size that they did. It was the wind that was blowing against the disciples in the ship. It was the wind later on in the story when Peter steps out on the water and has his eyes on Christ and he's doing something that no one else can ever claim that they've done is walk on top of the water. It was the wind that got Peter to look at that, the wind, and get his eyes off the Lord. And we're definitely going to get to the wind later. And I want to show you something about the wind that I thought was interesting. But look at verse 25. This to me, as I read the story, this to me should have been the turning point in our story. Look at it in verse 25. The Bible says this, "And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea." Jesus knew exactly what they were going through. And he decided, because he cares and he loved them, to go to them in their time of distress and need. And they knew the direction that they cast offshore. And they knew that Christ, they left the Lord back there in that direction. And now someone from that direction they just left is walking on the water to them. They should have realized that must be the Lord. Everything's going to be okay. This should have been the turning point. They saw Jesus. They got their heart right. They apologized. They asked forgiveness for their lack of faith and fear. But it wasn't. It wasn't the turning point in the story. Look at it in verse 26. The Bible says this, "And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled." They were troubled, saying, "It is a spirit," little s spirit. "And they cried out for," what's the next word, church? Fear. They were troubled at the sight of that. It made them afraid. It wasn't the turning point. They still had some learning to do. And they still had some storm to experience before they learned the lesson that Christ had for them to learn. But I want you to know this. You and I, we've probably experienced, if we gave a time of testimony, we could tell and share some storms that you and I have been through. If you haven't been through a storm, this is not the most positive message in the world, but if you haven't been through one yet, you can mark it down. There's probably one on the horizon. But in the midst of storms, even though storms come in our life, it doesn't mean that the Lord doesn't care for us. I can just imagine the devil getting into their hearts, the disciples' hearts, in the midst of that storm, just like he does. He gets into the circumstances and the storms around us and causes the storm to be a reason that we doubt God's love and care for us. But I want you to see something. I want you to see that even in the midst of the storm, Jesus still cared for him. How can you prove that? How do you know that? How do you know that he cared for them? I mean, the devil probably whispered in his disciples' hearts and their minds and their ears saying, "Listen, you're doing exactly what your God told you to do, and look what it got you. You're in the middle of a storm. You're going to perish because you're doing what he told you to do. And he told you, when he called you out by name into the ministry, he told you you're going to be fishers of men. And he told you that you're going to have a joyful life and have the blessing of God on your life, and you're fixing to die in the middle of an ocean." Can you see the devil trying to discourage his disciples? Can you see the devil trying to get in that storm and cause them to doubt the care and love of their Savior? But I want you to remind you today, even though storms come in our life, it doesn't mean he doesn't care. I know he cared. How do you know? Because the Bible says in verse 25, Jesus went unto them. They were in the middle of that ocean. There was nothing that they could do for themselves to get themselves out of that storm. They were completely vulnerable. They were completely dependent upon the Lord. And I believe that's one of the reasons that we'll talk about later that he brought the storm to begin with. He wanted them to be dependent on his ability, not their ability, on him and not themselves. But Jesus went unto them. I wrote this down in the margin of my Bible. When they couldn't go to where he was, he came to them. And I couldn't help but think about myself before I knew Jesus Christ as my Savior when I was lost and on my way to hell. I tried to live right. I tried to have my good deeds outweigh my bad. I tried to self-reform my life and turn a new leaf, but it always led me to disappointment. It always led me to falling short of hitting God's mark of perfection. And I remember being so discouraged and there was no hope in sight. And it seemed like there's nothing I could do to get to God. But I'm so glad that when I couldn't make it to where he was, he came to me and he came to you as well in your time of need. And he came to the need and rescue of his own disciples. But also I see this, even in the midst of the storm, Jesus cared for his disciples. But even in the midst of a storm, Jesus was in control. He was in control. Disciples, the situation that they thought was hopeless, was gloomy. They were going to die. There's no possible way this is going to turn out good. The thing that they were terrified of, have you ever thought about this? I believe God is God, don't you? I believe Jesus is the Son of God. He had all power. He could have done anything. Let me ask you a question. Why did he decide to walk on top of the water out to his disciples? I mean, isn't he God? Couldn't he just, in a moment, just appear in that vessel with his disciples? I mean, he's God, right? I mean, couldn't he just take that ship and bring it back to shore, just come right to shore? Couldn't he just still the storms? Why on earth did he decide to walk on top of that water? I believe he wanted to show his disciples the thing that you're petrified over, I'm walking on top of like I'm walking through the park. He wanted to remind his disciples that he's God and he's always in control. Because God knew the difficulties that his disciples would face being a believer. He knew that after his death, resurrection, and ascension, they were going to be facing some serious persecution for their belief. And he wanted to remind them, listen, this is just a small taste that your storms that you're going to encounter, I want to remind you, I'm always in control. You may not see it in the storm. When we're going through a storm, all we see is storm. And we don't see any light at the end of the tunnel. We don't see the sunshine, but he always, always is in control. And there's a song that says this, when you can't see his hand, when you don't see what purpose he's trying to fulfill through the storm, when you can't see his hand, we've got to trust his heart. Trust his heart that he has what's best for us. He knows what we need to experience, and he knows what needs to be done. He's always in control. Now, real quick, Peter gets a lot of flack for what he's done in this story. I mean, he catches a lot of grief, and people would accuse him of just being a horrible, rotten disciple. But before you start thinking that, I'd like to show you some proof that I believe Peter had great faith. But he had a lapse of faith. Here's proofs of Peter's faith. A lot of people would say, use the account here in the story to say, Peter is just a horrible disciple. But here's some things that maybe you should consider here. Proofs that Peter had great faith. Number one, Peter was the only disciple that I could tell in that ship to have faith enough to respond to Jesus when he spoke. He cried out, "It is I, be not afraid." And everyone else in their heart was saying, this is a spirit, and they were troubled. Peter is the only disciple out of the rest of them to actually respond back to Jesus. That took faith. Number two, Peter was the only disciple that had faith to identify who it was that was speaking. Everyone else thought it was a little S spirit. It's some kind of demonic spirit out there. Peter was the one that said, "Lord, if it be thou." Lord. He identified him as Lord. Number three, Peter was the only disciple to have the faith to make a miraculous request. Peter had great faith because he knew that if this is the Lord, there's nothing that he can't do. And what did he request of him? What did he request of the Lord to do to him in his life to prove who he was? He said, Lord, I know if it's you, you can do anything. I know right now, God, you, if you wanted to, you could let me walk out on top of the water with you. And he made a miraculous request. He asked God to have him walk on the water out to him. Now, I got to ask you something. Why on earth would Peter leave the safety of a ship to walk on top of the water in the midst of the storm? We'll get there in a second. Peter was the only disciple to have faith to obey the Lord and get out of the ship. I know the communication was between Peter and the Lord, but the other disciples were there hearing what was going on. But Peter was the only one. When the Lord said, come, Peter was the only one to get out of the ship and actually walk on the water. That took faith. He was not some person that had no faith. He just struggled with consistently living his life out in faith, getting his eyes off the Lord later and getting in trouble. Peter, even after messing up, falling down and sinking, had faith to cry out to the one he knew that could help him. So why would he do this? Why would Peter do that? Well, the Bible tells us, look what it says here in verse number 28. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water. What's the next four words? To go to Jesus. The reason why he wanted to get out of that ship and walk on the water was he wanted to be near Jesus. He knew. He recognized, like we would be wise to recognize ourselves when we're encountering a storm. The only person I need to be with in the middle of a storm is Jesus. And I'm willing to do anything and everything to get out to him as quickly as I can, because I know Jesus is the one that we need to be near in the midst of a storm. Listen, if you're here today and you don't know Christ as your Savior, I believe salvation is simple. I believe it's as easy as what Peter did in the midst of his storm. When he was sinking down, and he didn't cry out to the disciples to throw him a lifeline, did he? He didn't, when he was sinking down and the water was coming above his nose and he was going up and down and swallowing water, he didn't even say, you know, Lord, explain to the Lord why he deserved to be saved. Lord, don't you understand the good that I've done? I'm a disciple. What did he say? Lord, save me. Three simple words. And for people that try to overcomplicate the gospel, it's not you trying to live worthy of it. It's not you accepting Christ by faith and then living a sinless, perfect life from that point on. It's simply faith on the Lord Jesus Christ, in the Lord Jesus, believing what the Bible says that he did for you and I, the death, the burial, the resurrection, and believing that one for salvation. He said, Lord, save me. If you don't know Christ your Savior, it's that simple. Just cry out to God like Peter did and say, Lord, save me. And he will. He will. You know, everything's going good for Peter. Walking on the water, then something happens. Peter gets his eyes off the Lord and begins to sink down. In verse number 30, it shows us a good definition of what I think fear is. What is fear? But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. Verse number 30 gives us, I believe, a good definition of what fear is. He was doing great as long as his eyes were focused on what? The Lord. When he got his focus off the Lord, he began to see the wind and the waves and oh me and oh my and doubted and sank. So verse number 30 gives us a good biblical definition of what fear is. Fear is simply faith out of focus. Getting our faith out of focus, not focusing our faith and trust in the one that it's supposed to be focused on, the Lord. And then every time that we lose sight of the Lord and focusing our faith on him and getting our eyes on, oh, how big the waves are and look at the wind, it causes us to sink, causes us to doubt and to worry and to fear and to panic. Bible doesn't say Peter had no faith. It just said, O ye of little faith. He had great faith to step out of the boat, but the moment he took his eyes off the Lord, man, his faith shrank in a hurry. Now, real quick, that was all introduction. I promise, lengthy introduction, shorter message, okay? So here's first off, the message is how the Lord uses a storm. We're going to give you real quick just a couple of things, I believe, how the devil uses storms. And it's real simple. The devil's plan for our life is contrary to what the Lord's plan for our life is. And he'll do anything to get us to not fulfill God's purpose that he has for our lives. So how does the devil use the storm? How did the devil use the storm in this instance? And how will he use storms in our lives? Well, number one, the devil uses storms to get us to fear. The devil uses the storms to get us to fear. And just like he did in our story, he gets in the details, the circumstances to do that. The devil, you understand, is someone that should be respected, that he is an admirable foe. But do you understand this morning that he is a limited foe? He is not like our Savior that is omnipresent and all-powerful and all-knowing. He's limited. And even though he's powerful, he's predictable. He, all the way from the Garden of Eden, he's always used the weapons of doubt. He's always used the pride of life, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes. He's powerful, but he's predictable. He uses what he has available to him. In our story, it was the wind. It was the wind that he used to get the devil to fear. It was the wind. Did you notice what the Bible says? I want you to point this out to you. Do you think this is any coincidence about what the Bible says about the wind? Let me try to find it real quick. It wasn't in my notes, but I just thought about it. Oh, verse number 24, Matthew 14, 24. I want you to notice this thing about the wind. Matthew 14, 24 says this, "But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was," what's that next word? Contrary. Do you think it's a coincidence that when the Lord's will and purpose for his disciples was to get in the boat and to cross the sea and to get to the other side, do you think for a second it was just a happenstance, a circumstance, just a coincidence that the wind was blowing contrary to them? The wind was blowing against them. To me, in my mind, the wind was blowing them backwards, pushing them backwards, and the wind was the worst part of the storm. The wind was the thing that got the disciples scared the most. They're fishermen. They've been through storms before, but this storm was different. This storm was purposeful. The wind was blowing against them to stop them from doing what Christ had told them to do. Who do you think in our lives would try to prevent us from doing what Christ has told us to do? The devil. The devil used something as just ready and available to him as a wind and did something evil with it. That shows me that if the devil could use wind, he can use anything to keep you and I from doing what God's told us to do. I like a cell phone. I'm bad at directions, okay? I'm horrible with directions. If it wasn't for my GPS, I would probably be in Louisiana right now, not Alabama. So technology, cell phones are not wicked. But don't you think the devil can use something like a cell phone to accomplish his purpose in our life? Even if it's not looking at things you shouldn't look at, it's a time waster. It sure can be a time waster. If the Lord's purpose for our life is to get in his word, and to know what it says and take its truths and apply it to our life. If he takes something as harmless as a cell phone and can use that to waste our time and not spend it where it needs to be, the devil will use that to accomplish his purpose. The devil uses a storm to get us to fear, and he uses the circumstances, things that are available to him to do that. Number two, the devil uses the storm to cause us to doubt. Specifically, doubt God's presence, power, and his care. Number three, the devil uses the storm to prevent our purpose. We've already talked about that, the wind blowing against us. Now, quickly, with the next 6 minutes that we have, I'd like to talk about how the Lord uses storms. Number one, the Lord uses storms to test our faith. I started off the question, why would the Lord allow his disciples, doing what he told them to do, go through a storm? It's to test their faith. When we go through storms today, Lord, why did you allow that in my life? Could it be that he's trying to test our faith? I can't take credit for this. I'm not trying to. I've heard this statement somewhere. I thought it was great. Someone said, a faith that can't be tested is a faith that can't be trusted. And I thought that so well. Isn't it so easy? Don't just roll off your tongue. I have faith. I believe God. Oh yeah, I know God's in control. It's easy to say, but isn't it another to do? Isn't it another to live out that faith? So the Lord allows storms, I believe, in our life to test the faith that we profess that we have in Him. A faith that can't be tested is a faith that can't be trusted. The Lord uses the storms in our life to see how well our faith will hold up. I'll give you just an example in our life. We've been married for 6 years now, and we got married in June 13th, 2015. And just in a short matter of 6 years, we've encountered our fair share of storms. While I was pastoring in upstate New York, she was expecting our son, Connor. And it was go time. I thought after the first child, we had everything ready. But then when she said, it's time, oh, it's time? Okay. We ran out the door and we forgot the overnight bag. You know, it's like the thing that you're supposed to pack. We forgot the overnight bag, clothes and things like that. The child's delivered. Everything's going great. I ask her and the doctors, is this a good time for me to go home and grab some stuff? Yeah, sure. So I go home and I'm with a member from our church. His wife stays back with my wife. And I get the clothes in a matter of 15 minutes there and a couple minutes back on the way. He gets a phone call from his wife. And I immediately know something's wrong because he's whispering. You never want to be whispering and turning themselves away from you. And he hangs the phone up and just looks at me and says, I need you to be calm, but we need to get to the hospital as fast as we can. Something happened with Leah. And I do what any responsible pastor with his church member in his vehicle does. I sped as fast as that Explorer could take me, all right? I was going off the road in the median. I was passing people. I was flying there. Put the car in park, run up the stairs. And the scene that I saw was, it looked like every nurse and doctor on that floor was going in and out of my wife's room. And I turn the corner and I walk in, and I see my wife. Her eyes are closed. She's hooked up to an oxygen mask. And she's laying there on the bed, and she's not awake. She's not with me. I'm telling you what, the whole ordeal only lasted a few moments. That's the longest moments of my life. I'm thinking to myself in those brief moments of storm, am I fixing to lose my best friend? Lord, why? We're trying to serve you here in New York. We're trying to do what we're supposed to. Lord, why? Why? And it was just a long, long few moments of my life. And she just, things that were supposed to happen after the birth took place didn't do exactly what it was supposed to. And she just passed out. And they were having a hard time getting her to come back too. And I'm just, Lord, I wish I could tell you that I said some eloquent prayer. Some, you know, Bible college prayer. I didn't. I just said, Lord, please don't take my wife. Lord, please don't take my wife. And spoiler alert, she's with us and Connor's doing great. But I'm telling you what, that was a storm. That was a storm in our life. But here's what I've learned about going through storms. When you come through them and God answers your prayers, doesn't that do something to your faith? I mean, out of all the millions of prayers that were going up in that moment, the fact that God heard my prayer and he answered my prayer and wife and child were came through with flying colors. If he can do that, what else? There's nothing he can't do. If he can bring my wife back to me and when the doctors were worried and they couldn't figure it out, when he could do something that the medical professionals couldn't do, man, that just strengthened our faith. That's something that we go back to when other storms come. We go back to storms that God's already brought us through. And we remind ourselves, God's got this. God's in control. Number two, the Lord uses storms to strengthen our faith. And we've heard examples of adversity makes us stronger, and we know that. When we go through storms and we see God bring us through, it makes us stronger. Number three, the Lord uses storms to make us completely dependent on Him. I'm telling you what, it'd be real easy for you and I to get in the flesh and think that, you know, with our intellect and our wisdom and our knowledge and our abilities, we could do just about anything. I'm telling you what, the disciples that were in the middle of the ocean, in the midst of that storm, were completely, completely dependent on the Lord. Before, this happened relatively early in the disciples' ministry. So I believe he brought this storm to help them realize, listen, you may get puffed up. You may get the temptation to get prideful. When people get saved and you're starting to heal people, you might be tempted to be prideful and start thinking that it's you that's doing it. Hey, guys, I want to remind you, you need to be completely dependent on me and not yourself and your own ability. And a storm is good for making us completely dependent on the Lord. Number four, the Lord uses storms to get glory and honor. We like to quote that verse, 1 Corinthians 10:31, don't we? We do all to the glory of God. But we like to think of just the good things. But are you ready for this? This is going to be a college definition of the word all. You might want to write this down, okay? You ready? All means all, okay? Did that blow your mind? All means all. Does that mean good things? When the good things happen, we should glorify God? All means bad things too, doesn't it? It means trials too, doesn't it? It means storms. When they come in our life, we're supposed to be bringing glory and honor to Him through all circumstances of our life. I believe, and you can disagree with me, that's fine. I believe the entire purpose can be wrapped up into this one, for this storm in their life. And it's this one. The Lord uses storms to show others who He is. He allows us to go through storms to allow others to see Christ through us going through our storms. We were able to, about a couple years ago, I was having some real bad stomach problems, stomach pain. I couldn't figure out what was going on. And I went to the hospital. They actually told me, you never want to hear this. They came in after they did some initial tests. They said, well, you're losing white blood cells and we don't know why. So it's either an infection or you have leukemia. That's a pretty wide spectrum, guys. Wow. Infection or leukemia? What in the world? So they admitted me. And without telling me, they admitted me to a cancer floor. So I'm waking up in the middle of the night and there's patients all around me that are experiencing cancer-related issues and complications. And they came in and said, oh, you're an oncologist. We'll be with you in the morning. I said, oncologist? That means cancer, right? Well, yeah. I'm telling you what, that was the longest night of my life. I was a youth pastor at the time, and I wanted to do great things for God, and I wanted to have the world's biggest youth group, and I wanted just to be asked to preach places and all this. I'm telling you right now, laying in a hospital bed, not knowing if I had leukemia or an infection on the cancer floor, the last thing on earth I was thinking about was if I was going to get asked to preach out. If I was going to be the youth pastor with the world's largest youth group. Do you know what immediately crossed my mind? Is my wife and kids going to be without me? Am I going to die? I mean, is my wife going to have to figure out life without me? Lord, I immediately began to think about all the good things that I've done. I've immediately thought about all the missed opportunities that God brought my way. Every soul that He crossed my path with, and I didn't tell Him the gospel. All the things that the Lord was speaking in my heart about that I kept pushing off because I thought I had all the time in the world. Those things immediately crossed my mind. I thought about it. You know, storms are good to get us to stop thinking about things that we shouldn't really think about. Forget about the things that we really shouldn't be worrying about and really focus on the things that truly matter. The Lord uses storms to allow others to see who He is. Let me share this verse with you and we'll be done. Matthew 14, look at it with me in verse number 33. Matthew 14, and look at it in verse 33. This was, in my opinion, the entire purpose of why the Lord brought the storms in the life of His disciples. Would you read it with me as I read it aloud? Look at verse number 33. The Bible says this, then they, who is the they, church? The disciples. Then they that were in the ship came and worshiped Him, saying, this is powerful, okay? Of a truth, Thou art the Son of God. Let me ask you a question. These are disciples that witnessed the power of God. They were there when demons were cast out. They were there when the blind was made to see. They were there when the 5,000 plus were fed with just a few fishes and loaves. They were there. They witnessed the power of God. They heard the preaching and wisdom and teaching of the Son of God, Jesus Christ. But it was only after they went through the storm do we read them in Scripture saying, of a truth, Thou art who the Son of God. They've heard with their ears before what He was saying about Himself. I'm the Son of God. I'm going to have to be crucified and to make redemption for mankind and redeem them back to God. They've heard all that before. But it wasn't till after this point they believed it. They believed it. Lord, I know what You said about Yourself up until this point. But after going through our storm and seeing Peter go through his storm, now there's no doubt at all. You are who You say You are. You are the Son of God. If I could just challenge you with this thought. Don't let the storms that come in our life to ever make you doubt that God cares for you and I. Because even when storms come, God's always cares for you and I. He's always in control. And it's always for a purpose. I've given you five or six purposes why I believe storms come in our life and how the Lord can use those storms in our life. And I pray that I and all of us here would have faith like Peter did and others did to just trust Him through it. Heavenly Father, thank You for this day You've given us, Lord. I pray that You would just bless the rest of this day, the rest of the services, Lord. And I pray that You would be with all those that made the request. We think about the lady with breast cancer, Lord, and others that have cancer and sicknesses, Lord. And I pray that You would just touch them and heal them. And I pray that You would be honored and glorified and pleased with everything that's said and done. And we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.